All right, we're back. Final segment today, Roy Mountlock Jr. And we are talking money. Today's show has been all about asset allocation. And, you know, I wanted to just throw this out. You know, as we came out of the break, I've been doing this for 35 years, and it's been a great ride for me. I mean, I love what I do. And, you know, I hear people all the time that I say, how's the work? How's the job? And what do? They, you know, start throwing up on me and tell me how they hate their boss, they hate their pay, they hate everything that goes along with it. If you're one of those people, maybe you need a change. And maybe if you like listening into this type of show, it might be something that you could do. And so we're training people. If you'd like to find out how to get licensed in the financial areas and do what I do, I've trained many, many, many people over the years. Check out RoyMountlockJr.com and fill out the form, join the team, and we'll send you something to give you kind of an idea how that works. When we came out of the break, we talked about three D's, the three D's of investing. We kind of talked a little bit about diversification, you know, and how you buy different funds and how you diversify yourself. The funds themselves diversify by having, you know, several hundred stocks. Interesting thing about it is people, they call me and they say, what do you think about Bitcoin? And I think, well, and most of the people that are calling me, I say, well, to begin with, do you have any idea what Bitcoin is? And they're like, no, not really. Well, that's the first rule of not investing. You never put money in things you don't understand. And so I don't have an opinion on Bitcoin other than the most of the people that are buying Bitcoin. They don't even know how it works. Okay. So as a result of it, they're probably going to get schooled. And most of your schooling comes from losing money, that kind of thing. But anyway, but the point being is that when people are purchasing individual stocks, you know, they have no idea. Yep, they put a lot of money into it. All right, I see, relatively speaking, they'll put a big percentage. Well, the funds research it and spend money on research and research. And if they hold more than 3 or 4% of any one company, that is like a lot. All right, a lot of the diversification is down to where they own 0.5%. And after doing all the research, they still are not going to bet on more than 3 or 4%. And these are big companies that they bet on, like maybe Facebook or Amazon or something like that. And they're saying, yeah, I think it's great. We'll put three cents out of every dollar in that one or something like that. And so diversification is accomplished by buying funds. The funds diversify, then you diversify your allocation among funds, and then what you do is you work on developing that tolerance. You say, well, what is the beta, say, of this particular fund? The beta is a measure of risk and volatility, and you start looking and you say, well, you know, this thing's 20% more risky than the stock market itself, and I want to be conservative. Then you might be wanting to find something with a low beta, all right, that has less volatility to the market. And so what I do is I try to match people. That's what I do. I match you up. You know, a good return is not necessarily the highest return. A good return is the return that when we have volatility, you're cool and you leave it alone and you don't worry about it. And then over a long period of time, you do well. All right. So let me give you some examples of why it's so important to be properly diversified and have the right risk tolerance. All right. So let's go back to 1929, okay? And when observing the five worst market declines since 1929, returns in the first year after each market range from 36% to 137%. But on average, now get this, in the five worst declines, the average return over the next year was 70%. Isn't that crazy? So a year ago, or March 2020, whenever that was, after those market declines, the average return was over 70% during that time. So now what happened? Well, same thing happened pretty much, you know, from what happened last year. But let me give you an example of what happens with timing. So if you took $1,000, okay, and you took that and you did it over a 10-year period, all right, $1,000 in the S&P, you left it in, the whole time you had $2,897. All right, this is the 10-year period in 2019. If you miss the 10 best days in the market, in other words, you were just out, you're like, man, I'm scared, I'm going to get out, and I only missed 10 days out of 10 years, it cost you 33% of your value. Isn't that crazy? If you missed 20 days. Now, 20 days out of 2,500 days, that's a 10-year trading for the most part, you're looking at it cost you 50% by being out. So what does that say? You're telling me that if I miss 20 days out of 2,500 days, that it's going to cost me 50% of my gains? Yep, that's the way it works. So why do I tell people always leave your money, do a buy and hold strategy? It's time, not timing. Now, what's the key element to all of that? The key element to time, not timing, goes right back to the three Ds: diversification, dollar cost averaging. That's where we put our money in. That's how 401k works. You put it in monthly. If you're out of the market right now and you wanted to get back in, I would probably dollar cost average you. And what that means is that if you had $100,000 and we wanted to put it in over a year, we would automatically invest $8,000 a month from, say, a fixed account, money market account or something like that, and buy every month. And then that way, if we have a declining market, we're actually buying at a discount. That's how we get you back in the market if you're out of the market. So what happens is, I've been, just to give you an idea, I've been doing dollar cost averaging for 30 years. You know, that's what I do. I have a monthly draft going into my investments automatically. It's just a bill. It's a bill that I pay myself. All right. And so what you do is you dollar cost average in, and then that way you don't put your money in right now and then the market drops and you're panicking again, that kind of deal. So we have diversification. We have dollar cost averaging. And then the third thing is discipline. The discipline to leave it alone and stop looking at it and have faith in the fact that you've got good allocation. Find a good financial advisor. And, you know, I tell people my job as a financial advisor is to walk you off the cliff when you're getting ready to make bad decisions, emotional decisions. You know, and if you ask somebody, when should you sell? You say, well, you always sell high, right, and you buy low. But then when the market starts cranking, you can't find people, hardly, that are saying, hey, it's on sale. Why don't we buy it at a discount? That would be a great idea. And you're saying, oh, no, I don't want it. I would rather wait until the blue light special, for those of you that are old, at Kmart. The blue light special goes off, so I pay full price, right? Think about that. So if you see declining markets in your dollar cost averaging, you're automatically taking advantage of that. And what I tell people always is let's be smart and let's be diversified. Let's get the proper asset allocation. Let's rebalance our portfolio every so often to make sure that we're not heavy in one thing that we used to not be heavy in. And then we start building, okay, a system that over the long period of time is going to reach our goals. So what we try to do is match up asset allocation in a way that will make you get the returns, okay, that you need, but at the same time not panic when we have something going the wrong way. So what are some asset allocation models that we do? There's five parts to your asset allocation. The first one is how long do you have before you need the money? And so if you've got a long horizon, guess what? You can be more aggressive, understanding that along the way there's going to be volatility. It is your risk tolerance, how much you withstand. I mean, is it going to really bother you if we have a 20% market decline? You know, I'll never forget when I first got started in the business, 1987, and I'm like, all I did is I said, hey, historically, here's what happens. The money will come back. I believed what I was told, and I said, you just need to hold on to it. Don't worry about it. Everything will be fine. Well, guys, today, 2000 and, you know, tech crash, I've done that, been around 2008. I've been around the pandemic. I've been around everything you can imagine. And you know what I've learned? Just leave it alone. Make sure you have the right risk tolerance in place. The third part is diversification. And we talked about that. The fourth part is we want to make sure and get the right investment choices. So once we look at all this, now we've got to pick the funds. Where are we going to put them? And then lastly, you know, these portfolios are their managed type things that you go in and you say, hey, I think I've got a 70-30 risk tolerance, 70% stock, 30% bonds, that kind of thing. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it in a portfolio that owns, you know, that type of allocation. And then by having that type of allocation, you know, they're going to keep it that way. Another option you might do is if you're at a, you know, if you have a 401k, you might look at some of the target date funds. And what it says is, you know, you just go in there and you say, well, I'm going to take my birth year and add 65 or 70 to it. And then that's going to kind of give me an idea. And they automatically manage it, that kind of thing. So we're making investment choices. And then we may have built-in rebalancing, okay? And so what happens is, if you don't have built-in rebalancing because you have a lot of, and maybe you go into, I was, interesting enough, I helped someone with their 401k, and that 401k at a big company, they didn't have a target date choice. So what we had to do is go in there and pick, you know, the different types of funds, you know, from international to aggressive, you know, all this different type of thing. And, but what we're going to have to do also is look at that over a period of time and say, you know what, we need to reallocate it. And the best part about being in a retirement fund is you can move it around and do all that kind of stuff, and you're not going to end up having to pay taxes when you do that kind of thing. And so I hope today's show has been helpful. You know, I just see people all the time, and I sometimes have clients come in, you know, people that are talking to me, and they got things going in the right direction, and life is good, you know, and then I see others that they're worried, all right? And the last thing you want to do is be worried. And so the best way to get past worry and get confident is to get educated. And I want to compliment you on tuning in. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, we've got 80 of, I think this is show 80 or 81, something like that, that you can go and listen to. It goes all the way back, you know, for a number of years. So if you visit roymountlikejr.com and go to the podcast section, just sign up for it, and then it'll get delivered to you every week, all right? And we'll be in a position where that way, when you get in here, you'll be saying, oh, I understand, and if you meet and all that kind of thing. So visit roymountlikejr.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.